Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real as Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Paige Yates
and Taylor Yates.
And in this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team. All right, T, how you doing?
Good, thank you. We are solidly into winter now, and I am going to flee the cold in a couple of weeks and head on down to Florida to see my sister-in-law.
Lucky you.
Yep, so we're bringing the whole family.
To Miami.
Miami. That's right. That's right. Which I don't think I've ever been to Miami before.
Maybe in the airport going to and from someplace.
Yeah, exactly. I've never, which is, it boggles my mind. There are some U.S. cities where it's like, I feel like I know them, right?
Right.
But I just have never been to them. Like Dallas, I don't think I've ever been to Dallas, but I don't feel like I've never been to Dallas.
Exactly. Well, you've been to Houston, so that's kind of close.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Here's the thing about Texas versus New England, right? So Texas is gigantic. So Houston and Dallas are probably about as close as like Boston and Canada.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought they were like 3 hours difference or something.
I don't know. But it was like, well, that's, you know, that's about how.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Yeah,
that's about
New
how
York long. And Boston, maybe.
Yeah. It's just, it's a huge state. And the distance that it takes to drive across Texas. It's like you could be drive through like every single New England state. So
there you
and
go.
Then some. So I'm excited to go to Miami though, because I love going to the warm weather in the middle of February. It helps me like push through to have something to look forward to. And also just
you can look at all the high rises on the beach.
Look at all the high rises on the beach.
Which is unbelievably it's kind of like seeing New York City
yeah.
and a beach put together.
That's right.
That's what Miami is.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like whoa.
Yeah. And we're going to stay in this place called Brickell, which is like, I don't know if it's like the seaport or the south end of Miami. It's like the trendy neighborhood in Miami, which is where my sister-in-law lives. And it's like, so I don't know. I'm probably not going to have nice enough clothes. I'm going to look like a frumpy dad.
Yeah.
I'll probably
That's
wear
right. It won't matter down there. Everybody wears everything.
Yeah, maybe I'll just lean into it and like throw on a pair of New Balance sneakers and like yeah. and some cargo shorts. And,
yeah, won't matter.
Right on. This month we've been talking about the winter market. And so let's talk about some predictions about what winter means for buyers. So what are some of the seasonal trends that happen in the winter market?
Like what would you see as a trend in the winter market?
Well, definitely like lower inventory. That's a seasonal trend.
Yeah.
Prices, you know, it kind of depends on the year. Sometimes they're higher, sometimes they're lower.
It's interesting because January and February for us in New England are kind of like question mark months. Yeah. We tend not to have lots of new inventory.
Right.
And we tend to have a lot of snow.
Yeah.
Which holds us back. The third component that factors into when people list their homes is, as you know, most mortgage rates you can lock in for 60 or 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
And many of the people buying with us are buying in school-driven towns.
That's right.
So many parents who might want to move either are moving away or moving outside of their
yeah.
town don't really want to put their house on the market till, say, March or April because they want their kids to finish the school year.
That's right. You don't want to put your kid into a new school in the middle of the year.
Or even with 2 months to go. And, you know,
right.
May, if you put it on in February and someone wants to close in April, you're going to go to a new school for May and June. So
right.
I think they're like components that drive people to wait to put their house on the market that are not necessarily seasonally driven, but more driven by lifestyle.
That's right.
So I think that's a big factor for us. I think people that are relocated or people like me that my age that might be, you know, downsizing or moving to the city, winter months, it doesn't matter to them.
Right.
And also people that are moving inside their own town. So if they list or they want to buy in their own town, it just may be driven by finding the right house that they want to move to or the neighborhood. They move earlier than they plan and they end up putting their house on the market, say, in February because they found their dream house in January.
The way I describe how markets move in real estate is that it's kind of like gravity. Like there are certain markets that are so big, they have a gravitational force that influences markets that otherwise have nothing to do with them. So like take this spring market effect. So people that are buying condos downtown are not really influenced by school calendar, right? That's not, correct. That is not the number one reason that I hear people say they want to get a condo in Boston. But a lot of people that are influenced by the school calendar are selling their condo. So you have this daisy chain effect where like I might not care one way or the other about when this condo sells, but the person that's selling it cares. And then that affects my timeline because now I know that there's a whole bunch of condos that are going to come on the market in the spring as people move out of Boston to like a different school district or something like that. So that's why I say it's like gravity. It's like it influences these things that are not at all connected to it or driven by the same things.
I think there's a yin and yang, right? Yeah. People coming from the city are motivated by different things than people that are in towns where schools drive their interest. Right. And so you have to, people moving from the city to the suburbs have to want to wait to get a full market review. People going into the city don't care. They're just ready to move. So they want to go find something. So they might not have as much seasonal impact on their shopping timeline. And I think you just have to be open to looking. Once you made your decision, you are open to looking and know that you just might have to take some time to find what you're looking for.
You know what I should point out? I don't think mortgage rates are really impacted by seasonality.
I don't think so either.
They're impacted by what's happening in the economy and the Federal Reserve. So it's not, you know, that is not a seasonal thing. We're like, oh, you know, in the winter they're low, in the spring they're high or something like that.
100%.
Is winter a better time to find a deal, do you think, if you're a buyer?
Yes. I think particularly in November and December, maybe a little bit in January, people who are putting their houses on at that time of the year usually have a motivation to get it sold sooner rather than carry it all the way to the spring market. So if I'm listing those times of the year, I might say I might be a little bit more aggressive in my ask price because I want the deal to close in 60 days, not 6 months.
Right.
So, and people typically putting the house on the market in November, December are either moving for a job, found another house, downsizing, they bought something in Florida already. So there is motivation to make the sale happen within 60 days. And for that, you usually have to give up some money.
Yeah, for sure.
But you can wait and go into the spring market if that's an option for you. But most people selling in November, December, January, it's time sensitive. They're putting their house on the market because of a specific reason.
That's right. So they're motivated, which, you know, motivation is leverage for the other side.
It is.
Awesome. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll do our question from the audience. Did you know that Paige and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs, too. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today. Mom, how do you prioritize and manage multiple clients and transactions simultaneously?
So I think that's one, an incredibly, it's one of the difficult challenges of our job.
Right.
I have, you know, specifically, I have information on each client. Mm-hmm. I know what I've shown them. I know what they're looking for. I oftentimes send them a text if I think something might appeal that we ought to go to or that I'm going to go see. But I, on a daily basis, try to communicate with those people that I'm actively looking in the market for and have something to say, or I connect with them in some capacity. Right. It may be that I connect once a week because it's January and I don't have a lot to say, whereas I get to March 1 and every week I'm sending them two new listings. Right. I even have a big board that I put the people's names that I'm looking for, what they're looking for, kind of their price range. So I have the specifics on everybody and I, on a daily basis, review that.
Yeah. I think we're a little bit different. I use, not 100% different.
You don't use paper. That's the difference.
I don't use paper, yeah. No, but I built a tool that I use to keep track of all my clients so I can keep track of like what stage they're at and what I need to do on a given day to keep them moving along. It's funny, two clients wanting the same thing at the same time or just different things at the same time does not happen as much as you think it would. It just, you know, it is not like, it's basically if there's an opportunity or a situation that arises that motivates them to do something, it happens, but kind of randomly. So I'm not often telling somebody, hey, I can't go to this showing with you because I'm going to a showing somewhere else. And because I built this tool, I'm never saying to somebody like, oh, I can't meet with you because I've got to do some like back office work or something, right? Like right. All that stuff gets done ahead of time, quickly, accurately. And then we also, by the way, we have our assistant, Kim, who does like all the work that is basically not
all
client
the paper,
work for us.
Yeah.
All the paperwork, all the stuff. That, like, it is amazing how much stuff happens under the surface in a real estate transaction. And when you're the client, it's just like, you know, if your agent's good, they make it look easy.
Right. But the paperwork and the keeping on top of things, everything from smokes, fires, mortgages, showings, all the things. I have a situation where I had my seller was away. We had a leaking dishwasher. I'm meeting the plumber there. Yeah. You know, it's you're trying to keep ahead of all the potential problems. Right. And that is a very thoughtful job.
That's right. It takes a lot of thought and prep. So.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the awesome question. If you're a curious cat and would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yeatsboston.com or slide into our DMs at @YatesTeamBoston. That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you enjoyed this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok @YatesTeamBoston or on the web @YatesBoston.com.